Here we are gathered together to pray in the Lord's name. God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. We'll warm up with praying Psalm 95 to help ourselves get snapped out of the world and recollected. Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving and sing joyful songs to the Lord. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him, the dry land too, for it was formed by his hands. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people, the flock he shepherds. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. Today, listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Manizah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. 40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Forgive us, Father. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. The hymn. For those who love God, who are called in his plan, everything works out for good, and God himself chose them to bear the likeness of his Son, that he might be the first of many, many brothers. Who is able to condemn? Only Christ who died for us, Christ who rose for us, Christ who prays for us. For those who love God, who are called in his plan, everything works out for good, and God himself chose them to bear the likeness of his Son, that he might be the first of many, many brothers. In the face of all this, what is there left to say? For if God is for us, who can be against us? For to those who love God, who are called in his plan, everything works out for good, and God himself chose them to bear the likeness of his Son, that he might be the first of many, many brothers. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Neither trouble, nor pain, nor persecution. For to those who love God, who are called in his plan, everything works out for good, and God himself chose them to bear the likeness of his Son, that he might be the first of many, many brothers. What can separate us from the love of Christ? Not the past, the present, nor the future. For to those who love God, who are called in his plan, everything works out for good, and God himself chose them to bear the likeness of his Son, that he might be the first of many, many brothers. The night will be as clear as the day, is our antiphon. Alleluia. God sees all is the caption for Psalm 139. Who has known the mind of God? Who has been his counselor? O Lord, you search me and you know me. You know my resting and my rising. You discern my purpose from afar. You mark when I walk or lie down. All my ways lie open to you. Before ever a word is on my tongue, you know it, O Lord, through and through. Behind and before you besiege me, your hand ever laid upon me. Too wonderful for me this knowledge, too high beyond my reach. Oh, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your face? If I climb the heavens, you are there. If I lie in the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn and dwell at the sea's furthest end, even there your hand would lead me. Your right hand would hold me fast. If I say, let the darkness hide me and the light around me be night, even darkness is not dark for you. And the night is as clear as the day. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. So glad we're praying together tonight. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The night will be as clear as day. Alleluia. I know my sheep and mine know me. Alleluia. Same Psalm, part 2. For it was you who created my being, who knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you for the wonder of my being, for the wonders of all your creation. Already you knew my soul. My body held no secret from you when I was being fashioned in secret and molded in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw all my actions. They were all of them written in your book. Every one of my days was decreed before one of them came into being. To me, how mysterious your thoughts, the sum of them not to be numbered. If I count them, they are more than the sand. To finish, I must be eternal like you. Oh, search me, God, and know my heart. Oh, test me and know my thoughts. See that I follow not the wrong path, and lead me in the path of life eternal. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You watch over heaven and earth, triune God and Lord Jesus. That your death, Jesus, brought light to the dead. Your resurrection gave joy to the saints. Your ascension made the angels rejoice. Your power exceeds all power. Lead us to life eternal and watch over us with your love. May your friends be filled with honor and join you in heaven. In honor of Mary's gifts from Christ and from God the Father, grant us your help, your healing, your blessing, your truth. Empower us to do your will more and more. Help us not to be terrified by the sacrifices of your future. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I know my sheep, and mine know me. Alleluia. His glory covers the heavens, and his praise fills the earth. Alleluia. Third prayer is actually from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, 12 through 20. Let us give thanks to the Father for having made you worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. He rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Through him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creatures. In him everything in heaven and on earth was created, things visible and invisible. All were created through him, all were created for him. He is before all else that is. In him everything continues in being. It is he who is head of the body, the church. He who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that primacy may be his in everything. It pleased God to make absolute fullness reside in him, and by means of him to reconcile everything in his person, both on earth and in the heavens, making peace through the blood of his cross. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. His glory covers the heavens, and his praise fills the earth. Alleluia. Now we're going to read about the apostles and the Acts of the Apostles on this feast day of St. Matthias. So St. Matthias is the one who we read about in the very first chapter of Acts, and he's chosen to take the place of the overseer, the overseership that belonged to Judas as his part in the apostolate. So he's the apostolic, kind of the first example of apostolic succession, but in this way replacing the very tragic Judas Iscariot. Apologies about that. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The Apostles in the Primitive Church. Through the hands of the Apostles, many signs and wonders occurred among the people. By mutual agreement, they used to meet in Solomon's portico. No one else dared to join them, despite the fact that the people held them in great esteem. Nevertheless, more and more believers, men and women in great numbers, were continually added to the Lord. The people carried the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mattresses, so that when Peter passed by, at least his shadow might fall on one or another of them. Crowds from the towns around Jerusalem would gather too, bringing their sick and those who were troubled by unclean spirits, all of whom were cured, the high priest and all his supporters, that is, the party of the Sadducees, filled with jealousy, arrested the apostles and threw them into the public jail. During the night, however, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the jail, led them forth, and said, "Go out now and take your place in the temple precincts and preach to the people all about this new life." Accordingly, they went into the temple at dawn and resumed their teaching. When the high priest and his supporters arrived, they convoked the Sanhedrin, the full council of the elders of Israel. They sent word to the jail that the prisoners were to be brought in, but when the temple guard got to the jail, they could not find them and hurried back with the report. "We found the jail securely locked and the guards at their posts outside the gates, but when we opened it, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the high priests did not know what to make of the affair. Someone then came up to them, pointing out, "Look there, those men you put in jail are standing over there in the temple, teaching the people." At that, the captain went off with the guard and brought them in, but without any show of force, for fear of being stoned by the crowd. When they had led them in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest began the interrogation in this way, "We gave you strict orders not to teach about that name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us responsible for that man's blood." To this, Peter and the other apostles replied, "Better for us to obey God than man. Men, the God of our fathers has raised up Jesus, whom you put to death, hanging him on a tree. He whom God has exalted at his right hand as ruler and savior is to bring repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We testify to this, so does the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him." Responsory prayer. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus. All of them were held in great favor. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke God's word with boldness. All of them were held in great favor. And our second reading is from a homily on the Acts of the Apostles. So our reading from tradition is from St. John Chrysostom, Bishop. He's going to preach to us a little bit about St. Matthias. "Make known to us, Lord, the one you choose." In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, "As the fiery spirit to whom the flock was entrusted by Christ." And I believe there's an ellipsis after that, so showing that John is really saying things and they've cut out pieces. "As the fiery spirit to whom the flock was entrusted by Christ, and as the leader in the band of the apostles, Peter always took the initiative in speaking. My brothers, we must choose from among our number. He left the decision to the whole body at once, augmenting the honor of those elected and avoiding any suspicion of partiality, for such a great occasions can easily lead to trouble. Did not Peter then have the right to make the choice himself? Certainly he had the right, but he did not want to give the appearance of showing special favor to anyone. Besides, he was not yet endowed with the Spirit, and they nominated two, we read, Joseph, who is called Barsabbas, surnamed Justice, and Matthias. He himself did not nominate them, all present did. But it was he who brought the issue forward, pointing out that it was not his own idea, but that it was suggested to him by a scriptural prophecy. So he was speaking not as a teacher, but as an interpreter. So he goes on, "We must choose from those men who lived in our company." Notice how insistent he is that they should be eyewitnesses, even though the Spirit would come to ratify the choice. Peter regards this prior qualification as most important. those who lived in our company to continue the passage. All through the time when the Lord Jesus came and went among us, he refers to those who had dwelt with Jesus, not only those who had been his disciples. For of course, from the very beginning, many had followed him. Notice how it is written that Peter himself was one of the two who had listened to John and had followed Jesus. All through the time when the Lord Jesus came and went among us, to continue further, beginning with the baptism of John. Rightly so, because no one knew what had happened before that time, although they were to know of it later through the Spirit. Up to that day, up to the day, Peter added, on which he was taken up from us, one of these must be made a witness along with us of his resurrection. He did not say a witness of the rest of his actions, but only a witness of the resurrection. That witness would be more believable, who could declare that he who ate and drank and was crucified also rose from the dead. He needed to be a witness not of the times before or after that event, and not of the signs and wonders, but only of the resurrection itself. For the rest happened by general admission openly, but the resurrection took place secretly and was known to these men only. And they all prayed together, saying, you, Lord, know the hearts of all men. Make your choice known to us. You, not we. Appropriately, they said that he knew the hearts of men, because the choice was to be made by him, not by others. They spoke with such confidence because someone had to be appointed. They did not say choose, but make known to us the chosen one. The one you choose, they said, fully aware that everything was preordained by God. They then drew lots, for they did not think themselves worthy to make the choice of their own accord, and therefore they wanted some sign of further instruction. Responsory prayer. Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show us the one whom you have chosen to assume this ministry and apostleship. Alleluia. They cast lots, and the choice fell upon Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Show us the one whom you have chosen to assume this ministry and apostleship. Alleluia. As I'm reading John Chrysostom's preaching, you know, it occurs to me something very important. You know that people often assume that theology is kind of like every other science and that anyone ought to do it. I was reminded of an internet debate that I recently saw. And there are some wonderful, very high IQ individuals there, not professionally trained, but it's just wonderful to see them. But my point is that it doesn't necessarily take having a genius IQ to be a genius at theology. You see, theology is not really something that's accessible in the same way, not so much because of the spiritual aspect, that's part of it, but also because it's a very specific way of unfolding a religious tradition, and it takes a lot of time and patience to put the pieces together. And it's not always as simple as other types of reading or research, because there's all these jigsaw puzzle pieces that are out there, and people have to continually revise what they're thinking when they're doing theology in light of, okay, I'm critiquing my own assumptions. So even people like the individual who had an advanced degree in something else and was talking did not really reach a deep level of theological reflection and critique of his own position, of his own Orthodox Catholic position, so as to kind of come under the Protestant apologist's point of view. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. I don't know if the Holy Spirit wanted that, but we're moving on. But you see my point. There's something intensely personal about theology, even though it is a sacred science. It's a methodical process, an art form. In some ways, you might draw a link between mathematics, the discovery of this universal pattern within the realities around us, a very specific set of realities, except that these realities are about a person, they're about God. But at the same time, also, you know, people that are good at math are not necessarily good at theology, and it's not because of their IQ, but it's because theology is both gift and journey and effort all together. So if you receive the charisma, you know, people who have advanced degrees may be even jealous of your preaching and of your reflection, as I've often seen in myself, because they don't necessarily have that same ability to go deep into the scriptures and make the connections that you do, though they may have more knowledge than you. So that's one of the things I just wanted to encourage us all, that the connection, as one of my classes says, between our faith and our life is theological reflection, and we can all do it. It's just a matter of, and we can all do it well. That's what I'm trying to say. In any case, I want to move on to the Canticle of Mary. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have appointed you to go forth and bear fruit, and your fruit will remain. Alleluia. What a beautiful one to conclude my reflection that I was just having come to me, right, with that antiphon. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and appointed you to go forth and bear fruit, and your fruit will remain. Alleluia. My brothers, we build on the foundation of the apostles. Let us pray to our Almighty Father for his holy people, and say, be mindful of your church, O Lord. Father, you wanted your Son to be seen first by the apostles after the resurrection from the dead. We ask you to make us his witnesses to the furthest corners of the world. You sent your Son to preach the good news to the poor. Help us to preach this gospel to every creature. You sent your Son to sow the seed of unending life. Grant that we who work at sowing the seed may share the joy of the harvest. You sent your Son to reconcile all men to you through his blood. Help us all to work toward achieving this reconciliation. Your Son sits at your right hand in heaven. Let the dead enter your kingdom of joy. We're praying for Bill and for Julia, for Henry, for God to take care of them and show himself to be their Father. Praying for all those afflicted with chronic illness, that God will send and release research scientists and research to help them. We're praying for our new Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, that he may reunite all the scattered hearts of Catholicism and all the scattered parts and hearts into one, and reunite all of Christendom. I believe he chose us his motto. In the one Christ, we are all one, which I think is very beautiful for ecumenicalism. Be mindful of your church, O Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Father, you called St. Matthias to share in the mission of the apostles. By the help of his prayers, may we receive with joy the love you share with us and be counted among those you have chosen. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. I offer my partial or plenary indulgence for a soul in purgatory. May this be done. And tomorrow we'll reincorporate the Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be for the Pope's monthly intentions. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.